most musicians that I know who've been live streaming this year feel like they've developed real relationships with some fans that they feel like they never would have gotten to know otherwise, you know, because they were there every week or every day for some of them, you know, and or every month. And I mean, I feel so much closer to a lot of music lovers out there because we were just interacting in a really meaningful way for a year and a half.
That's Betty Sue with the group Nobody's Girl. I'm Jamie Green, and this is Trading Fours.
I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Oh, yeah. I'm going to Kansas City.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Trading Fours. I am rested and relaxed, back from California. Spent an entire week out in the Los Angeles area. It was fabulous. So great to get away from home. It's like the real first vacation we've had in over a year. Probably 2 years ago was the last time we had a vacation like that, when we were in Montreal. And that's for obvious reasons that I'm not going to name why, but you can figure that out. So today, we're back in Austin, Texas. Betty Sue is my guest. The group is Nobody's Girl, and they've got a new album out. It literally came out yesterday. I've had the chance to listen to it a few times and really have enjoyed it. I think you're going to enjoy it too. And Betty Sue called in. She dialed in via Zoom from her home in South Austin, and we discussed all about the new album. We discussed her Tuesday night shows, and we found out, you know how I always say that Kansas City is the biggest small town ever? Well, maybe the U.S. is the biggest small country ever, because she and I have a connection that's like super duper close, and we discovered it just because of this interview. So let's get started. Here's my conversation with Betty Sue of Nobody's Girl.
Thanks so much for joining Trading Fours. It's really nice to talk to you. I think a cool place. So I look, you know, I try to do a little research. I don't try to stalk people, but I'm always interested.
And I appreciate that.
And I'm seeing you're doing all these shows. So, and these coffee houses in Austin. So first off, how's that going? How does it feel to be back playing shows a lot?
You know, tomorrow is going to be my first one, like my first of my residency that was supposed to start last March in person. And the week it was supposed to kick off was, I don't remember if it was right the week of South By or the week going into South By. But it, you know, it was the week everything closed down. So, and like we spent months working on building this residency, and then, so it never happened in person. And so for a year and a half, it's only happened online, but tomorrow I'm actually going in to do the first one in person, and I'll be there every Tuesday. So, yeah, it's a little bit crazy. You know, for Nobody's Girl, we're all kind of, I mean, the three of us still haven't been in a room together since last February.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes it interesting for a band dynamic, doesn't it?
I know. So all of our rehearsals have been, you know, these remote, like, well, let me play you this part. And, you know, on Zoom like this, and then saying like, oh, well, okay, perfect, because this is the part I'm working on that'll stack like that. So then you end up like muting, you know, and have somebody play while you play along. And then, so... You know,
have you done the Jam Kazam world? Because that's what I know a lot of people went and did.
I started with that, but both of my bandmates live outside of the fiber radius.
Oh,
so,
no. Where are they?
I mean, they're, you know, Austin area, but fiber is only in some neighborhoods here. So.
Only in the city.
Well, not even all over the city, just certain neighborhoods.
Okay.
In Austin have fiber. So
because Austin, I mean, not to Google fiber out, this is a music podcast. Austin was pretty soon after Kansas City. That was one of the cities that was announced fairly soon after Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm extremely lucky to have it. So
what part of town are you in?
I'm way south.
Okay.
Way south Austin.
So yeah. My mom is a native Texan, and my favorite aunt and uncle my uncle passed away a few years ago, but my aunt lived same house since 1965 on Manchac in Slaughter Lane area.
Oh, I live really close to her.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. She, you know, and when I was growing up, it was a dirt road.
Oh yeah, that was like where I live. I think that I thought of for like 20 years as beyond the edge of town.
Yeah.
You know, because I moved to Austin in the mid 90s and I swore I was never going to live south of Ben White. Here I am, south of Ben White. Yeah.
Well, that's a little Austin nerd out, but it's just interesting how that city has just grown. I mean, just so dramatically.
Yeah.
In our lifetime. I mean, since I left, it's grown. And you said you came like mid-90s. Mid-90s, it's gotten crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I definitely came after it had already expanded a ton. And since I've been here, you know, I remember when I moved to Austin, people would say like, oh, I remember when 45th Street was the edge of North Austin, you know, and I couldn't imagine that when I moved here. But now I remember when like 183 Mopac, I-35 and Ben White was like, beyond that was like way out. And now it's not, you know, so.
It's crazy. Well, we'll get to Nobody's Girl in a second, but so these shows, you're doing these coffee shows. So tell me, where is this coffee house? I'm looking at this place and this
it's,
is not a
good It's dish. On Manchac or Menchaca. And it's a place called Captain Quackenbush's, which Quackenbush's Coffee House has and Bakery has been in Austin for decades and decades. I used to go there all the time as a student. But they opened a new location down in South Austin. And they took over a space that a few years ago was called Strange Brew and was a really popular music venue. And when it went away, like all of South Austin kind of mourned because it was really kind of our South Austin listening room. But Quacks has opened it back up and and then of course their grand opening got affected by COVID, but they started doing shows again, outdoors on a very limited basis last year, and then this summer have opened their indoor listening room. So they have kind of their bakery and coffee shop in one place, and then they've got some kind of like sound protected French doors, basically. It's kind of a folding wall of glass doors, and then a big listening room. And it's, I want to say it probably holds like 100-125 people, and I mean, I'm guessing, but I think it's about that, and it has a really nice big stage, great sound, great sounding room. So yeah, I'll be there every week with a guest.
Yeah, I'm looking.
And we'll actually spin this wheel.
Okay. Very cool.
And it tells us things to do on the spot. And yeah.
So you've got some heavyweights. You got John D. Graham coming.
Yeah, he's my first guest tomorrow.
So this is, I mean, this is an Austin institution. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And yeah. I feel really lucky. And you know, all of my guests that I had lined up for in-person last year, like totally made the pivot with me, did it online. And I had so many great guests.
Well, this is so funny. So I see Will Sexton's on here.
Yeah.
So when I was, this would have been like what, 89, the Will and the Kill.
I
wanted.
I've got that record.
I do too. I still have it. Tell him. He'll be like, "Oh my god, I wanted Will Sexton's hair so bad." He like that.
People still want Will Sexton's hair.
So for people that don't know, so Will Sexton is Charlie Sexton's brother.
Yeah.
And he had a band in the late '80s, early '90s that was Will and the Kill. They were on a major label, and the whole nine yards, but he's kind of doing a little bit more country now. Is that correct? How would you describe his music now?
Yeah, I mean, he's always had, I've always felt like his music was kind of right where rock and country and, you know, songwriter stuff all intersected, you know, like it makes perfect sense to me that like, if you're in the car with Will, like say you get a rental car that's got the satellite radio in it.
Right.
It's stuck on 50s on 5 the whole time.
Okay.
And if you think about it, it's like, because all of those genres of music pull their roots from like when blues was still really infusing all of early rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I think that is right where Will's wheelhouse is. It's like where blues touches every kind of American music.
No, he's great. In fact,
he's one of my favorites. He played guitar with me for ages, and then until he moved to Memphis with Amy.
Well, he's been here a couple of times, and every time he's here playing, I'm playing too. So it's one of those things like, oh, I can check it out, but I have a gig already, so I can't.
I was going to say, I think Will and I played a gig together in Kansas City.
You probably did. Maybe Knuckleheads, I'm guessing, maybe.
It might have been. Yeah, I think it might have been.
So that's funny. Anyway, I'm sorry. We went on a tangent, but I'm always curious about like what's going on now. But you've got a new album coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And this should go the week that this new album's coming out is when this episode will go live. So tell us a little bit about it for people who aren't, you know, from Austin that know about Nobody's Girl. Tell them a little bit about Rebecca and Grace and the new album and all that great stuff that you guys are doing.
Okay. Well, I love my bandmates. I just have to say Rebecca Lobey and Grace Pettis are two people who are extremely dear to me. And I just feel so lucky because we all really care about each other. We all really have a lot of respect for each other and for what we bring to the group. You know, we started out, I'm not sure how much you or any of your listeners know, but we started out not intending to be a band. Rebecca had this idea because she's kind of like the great strategist of the group. And she was like, I think that we should go on a co-build tour together. And Grace and I were like, yeah, that sounds great. And, you know, it was during a time that I was in a bunch of different bands, but I was like, actually those like 2 weeks, three weekends that she was looking at in that spring, I didn't have anything booked. So I was like, that'll work perfect. It's right in between my other projects and yeah, let's do it. And so we started to kind of think about how we wanted to do it. And I think all of us kind of thought, well, we need to have some kind of like video together or something so that our agents have something to, you know, get us gigs with. And we thought, oh, well, we'll just do a cover that we all know, especially because I was going to be out of town for a long time. So we decided to work up Tracy Chapman's Fast Car, song all of us know and love, know by heart, you know. Right. And the first time we actually sang together at the same time, like first time ever, was in the studio doing a little like iPhone video of Fast Car. And somehow that just like we posted on Facebook or YouTube or somewhere, and it just like within one day there were like a few hundred people who were like sharing it and liking it, and we were all like, wow, I've never had a video take off that much on the first day. And so we thought, okay, well, this tour might have some legs behind it. So I said, well, I think that we should write a song together, and it'll be like the special moment in the show that where all the fans will know, like, okay, this is the one time I'm ever going to see these three sing this song together in this way, you know? And so like to try to get people to invest in coming out. And so Grace said, well, I know these folks out in the Hill Country who have this great studio that has these like artists' apartments attached to it. And if you guys want, I could ask them if we could have a writing retreat there one night and basically have a slumber party, right? And where we try to write songs. And so she asked, they said, yes, we went out there. We ended up writing three songs that night, which I think shocked all of us. And then in the morning we came down to just say thanks. And they had like bought us breakfast tacos and had this like little breakfast spread for us. It was so nice. And we said, you know, do you want to hear the songs that we wrote? Thank you so much for letting us stay here. And they said, sure. So, you know, we pull out the guitars and we play these three songs for them. And they said, wow, we love that. We're starting a label. Would you guys like to make a record with us?
This is crazy.
I know. They were like basically offered us a label deal and to come in and use their incredible facility and to make a record with them. And we kind of looked at each other and we were like, are you for real? Right. and then we said yes. And then the next thing we knew, we were a band and like we needed to come up with a band name and all this. So yeah, so it's crazy. We ended up having a record deal before we had done one show together. Before we'd gotten in the car together to tour at all. So it kind of went in reverse order, but at the same time, like if it hadn't happened like that, we probably would never have been a band. So
right. Well, it's, you know, when you were talking about this and I, you know, read a little bit beforehand, it kind of reminds me, and I think that you'll take this as a compliment, you know, when Linda Ronstadt and Dolly Parton and Emmylou Harris got together, right? And it was one of these things like, hey, we're kind of friends, we're going to kind of hang out. And then they sang together and they were like, holy shit, like, this sounds great. And it kind of took off, right? A little bit,
yeah.
A little bit of serendipity. Because I'm guessing you all felt pretty good about being a solo artist and felt pretty secure in that and were fine with that. But when magic happens, correct?
Yeah. And all of us are total suckers for both of the trio records. And, you know, and it's funny because I'd be hard pressed to find any of my closest friends who probably aren't huge fans of those records. But yeah, it's just, we couldn't have imagined it happening, and then it happened.
That's great. We're in the Hill Country. What part?
Fisher.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. We used to go up to Marble Falls a lot.
Oh yeah, that's really pretty country. Yeah.
That's just great to get away. It's so, it almost feels like California out there in a way, right? With the hills.
It's definitely a different feel.
And it's not that far.
Exactly. Drive an hour, totally different landscape.
So is it July 30th? What's the release date?
That's the release date. And we'll do a big show in Austin the night before.
Where you guys playing?
At the Long Center, which is the Performing Arts Center just at the river at the south end of town.
Well, very cool.
Or south end of downtown, I should say.
Yeah, Town Lake.
And yeah. And then the next day on the actual album release day, we'll do a show at Waterloo Records.
The original one down on, was it Lamar?
On 6th and Lamar, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's really cool. So, and it's just called Nobody's Girl, right? It doesn't have like a title.
Right.
So all originals?
No, we have a couple of covers on the record. Two. We covered So Far Away by Carole King. We love that song. And and of course, you know, this was all recorded in 2019. We had no idea what was coming. And then like So Far Away suddenly seemed so prescient, you know.
Right.
But we covered that, and then we covered Eliza Gilkison's Beauty Way.
That's great.
Which is such a great song.
So where'd you grow up? I know you said you moved. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Spring, Texas, which is just north of Houston.
Yeah, not that far.
Yeah, not that far. A couple hours. Yeah,
that's nothing. And but who? It's you that went to Berklee School. Who went to Berklee School?
No, Rebecca went to Berklee for sound engineering.
Okay.
And she tells this great story about how, you know, she got her engineering degree, like a sound engineering degree, and went to work at a studio out of college. And she was like, you know what the great thing about working at a studio is? You have the keys to a recording studio. Right. So she recorded her first album like late at night, you know, going into the studio late at night when there were no sessions. And so
that's
cool.
What John Bon Jovi did.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
That first album is him, just a demo.
So great.
He was like the janitor at the recording studio. And like you said, there's nobody there. You figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's so fun to talk about this. So when you are going forward, I know you're doing your shows on yourself on Tuesday nights. And but are you guys going to tour? What's the plan as the world hopefully opens up? I say that coming from Kansas City, where people here got the shot, but apparently everywhere else decided not to.
We're keeping an eye on it all. The three of us have been very much on the conservative side of things throughout this whole past year and a half. I mean, the three of us haven't been in a room together since last February because we weren't in a pod, and we all had, you know, different circumstances with our families or whatever that kind of kept us from thinking that would be such a good idea for us to be podded together. And you know, it wasn't just about protecting ourselves so much as, well, protecting each other, but also, you know, our friends and family around us and the music lovers. Like, we don't want to invite people into harm's way.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line, right? And so all three of us have been very patient, I would say, about jumping back into the pool. And, you know, the numbers in Texas aren't the best.
Yeah.
So our first show is going to be outdoors, and we're just going to be following the CDC guidelines. And, you know, if it becomes unsafe for people to be indoors again, you know, especially we know that singing is a very high risk activity.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we're going to be flexible for what we need to do to keep people safe, because the last thing that we want to do is to be the reason for people to put themselves in harm's way and get sick, you know, or to bring back infection to their friends and family or their kids.
Yeah. Which my next door neighbor, their younger son is not 12.
Right.
He doesn't turn 12 till I think August. And she was telling me today, it's like, we're just, you know, holding our breath.
Right. And you know, in our little tiny Austin music community, we're very much like a family. And I mean, in my circle of friends, I know 5 people, like by name, like people I really know who were vaccinated and who've gotten breakthrough infections. So we're trying to be really cautious, and, you know, we're kind of weighing it all. I know Grace and I both have, Rebecca may also have, we all have singer's masks that if it looks like we need to be, if vaccinated people need to be masked again indoors, then we'll do it. You know, we're just going to do whatever it takes to feel like we've taken every precaution.
Yeah. It's just not, I mean, I don't know. It's such a hard thing, and especially with musicians too, because, you know, you can do the online, and I know you've done the online. I've had tons of people, and some people, you know, the online stuff. I had a group that was, they call themselves Roots Rock, and it's like really taken off. Like she was saying, like she's got fans now in Finland and places. But, you know, and I'm just a schmo in a cover band. Like I, you know, but there's nothing that replaces that interaction with a live crowd.
Right.
And I've tried really, you know, I'm all about science. I'm all about vaccines. I'm all about being safe and stuff. But I've really tried not to judge people, because I have some musician friends that they are pretty much financially ruined by this. And they're just trying to survive and feed their family. And I don't know. I mean, I wish we could all get together. You know, my mom is 89 years old, the one from Texas. And I'm fascinated that during World War II that they just rationed everything. They say, we're going to ration tires, and we're going to ration chocolate, and we're going to ration sugar, and we're going to ration. And it was for the collective good. And nobody said, you're taking my freedom away because you took my, you know, tires. And I just wish we could do that now. But I'm sorry, I should get off my soapbox. This is about music, but it's just frustrating because you guys, it sounds so great, and you should get the opportunity to be able to do this and present it and share that to the world.
Yeah. And I mean, I think none of the three of us have been felt, I don't think, that judgmental towards friends of ours who couldn't pivot and who couldn't, you know, find a way to make a living online and then who had to make some different choices than we did. But we felt like because the three of us did have the ability to shift to making an online income, you know, and it's not the same income as touring, you know, as playing out, but it's also not paying for flights and hotels and restaurants and rental cars and gas and all of that other stuff. So for many of us, honestly, because music fans were so generous and so supportive and like just persistent in their support for a year, we survived. And we could have never done it without them. So I felt like by the grace of God and music fans, I got to kind of coast in the Zoom class, you know, like a lot of lawyers and, you know, other kinds of professionals. So, no judgment for those who could not make any living online, you know, and we also had the help of, you know, the Texas Music Office, which is actually part of the governor's office, believe it or not. They have such a great staff who literally got on the phone with hundreds of us and walked us through. I mean, for other friends of mine, especially side people, right? Like people who play in a band and people aren't watching their live streams.
Don't know who they are.
Right. People don't know about your bass player, right? Oh. I mean, and so they walked them through getting onto unemployment. They told them, this is how you answer this question. This question sounds like it means this, but it means this. So this is how you answer it. And like, and they just taught them how to enter into the system and get unemployment assistance. So, I mean, I feel like we're really, really lucky in Austin to have a lot of resources like that.
And it's such a music town. I mean, there's
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It has been for, I just had Wayne Sutton on. Do you know Wayne?
Yeah.
I just had Wayne on. So we had a good time talking about, you know, first show I saw when I moved to Austin was, what was Little Sister then, before they even became Sister Seven.
Yeah.
And I'm just fascinated that he and Patrice, I mean, 30 years. It's like hauling.
I know. It's well, crazy. It's so funny because like right before I got onto this Zoom call, I started to answer an email from Patrice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. It was a small world, man.
It is a small world. Yeah.
So, a couple of things before we go, and I'll let you get back to it. So I will put in the show notes your guys' website and all that stuff too, but what's the best way to follow the band? Are you guys Bandcamp people? Is it the website? Is it?
The website, which is wearenobodiesgirl.com. And I just realized you asked me about like the songs on the record and stuff, and I haven't told you anything about that. I just right. went on about COVID. Well, but
I'm laid back.
but I do want to say that I think the three of us are really proud of the songs that we wrote on this record. And I feel very fortunate to be in a band where like the first time we decided that we were a band and that we were going to be writing these songs together, we all agreed that like we at least knew enough rock and roll history to know that like the demise of many rock and roll friendships is publishing rights, right? And songwriter credits. And so we were like, okay, we're writing the songs together. All of the songs are credited equally across the three of us. And we're just not going to bring in any solo writing into a show, but not into our recordings. And if there's going to be a solo written song, it's going to be by somebody else, because we just don't want it to, for the three of us, the value of our friendship is paramount, you know, that it's much more important than any of the business. And I think the great thing about that is that it ends having that attitude from the outset, I think meant that our songs went to more meaningful places than they might have otherwise. And, you know, there's some like just fun party stuff in this record, but most of it, we really tried to dig into the things we were thinking about. And most of them started with a couple hours of conversation about, you know, what we saw going on in the world, what we were reading in the newspapers, how we were feeling with our families, what we were struggling with personally. And when I look at, I mean, today, when I was looking through our song list, you know, just practicing, I was like, it just always strikes me that I can remember so much of these meaningful conversations just by looking at the songs that we wrote together. And I thought, what a lucky thing that is, because, you know, with most of your friendships, you can have these deep and meaningful conversations, but you don't have anything to memorialize it with.
Yeah, something tangible.
Yeah, and I think it's so special that I can look at each of these songs and remember who was struggling with what and what brought some of those ideas to the table that then transformed into a song. And I think that's just a really neat kind of everlasting gift.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, what a great thing that you can... You know, I always say that the best part about making music is the friendships that you develop, and those, I don't know how you, it's just like a camaraderie. I mean, it's not going to war, it's not traumatic, but it's just one of those things that it's a shared experience that it's hard to explain to other people, right?
Yeah, it is. And you know, when you're on tour with people, especially when you're kind of grassroots level indie musicians, you know, you're very often with each other literally 24 hours a day, which is more than most people spend with any family member or spouse, yeah, you know, so, totally. So you really know each other quite thoroughly. And to be able to still love each other and care for one another and want to work together after that, I think is a very special thing.
Two quick things. So tell me about going to Ireland. I saw you got to go to Ireland in 2018.
Yeah, we did.
I'm so jealous.
Well, I'd always wanted to go. I think Rebecca and I had always wanted to go. I don't think Rebecca had been to before, but maybe she had. But Grace's mother moved to Ireland years ago and is a poetry professor.
Wow.
There. So so she lives in Ireland, and we got to go stay with her, and then, you know, and then we toured from there. But we wrote part of this record there in her house, and we actually cushioned our time, since staying with Grace's family meant that we didn't have to have a bunch of expenses out during that time. We cushioned a little extra block of time to just spend there, removed from all of the everyday concerns of home, to do another writing retreat. And we did some really good writing there. And it was like, Ireland is like a dream. I mean, it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the ground is like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, it's loamy or something. Like, it's, the whole ground is cushioned. Like it springs under your feet. Like, I don't know how to describe it, except that the ground is not hard. And when you're just like walking across these fields, it's like, it just springs with you. And your steps all feel soft, and it kind of makes you feel like the land cares about you in this weird personified way. And it was, the people were so hospitable and so effusive and so kind. And I mean, all of us are kind of aching to go back.
Well, you know, it's obviously not exactly the kind of music that you do.
Right.
You could say it's the great, great, great grandfather of it. I mean, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and you can hear that.
Yeah. And we all know some of those songs, you know, because they've all filtered in.
No, I, my wife turns 50 next month, and that was where I was going to surprise her for her 50th birthday. We were going to go to Ireland. So it's going to probably have to, she doesn't listen to the podcast. It's okay.
I'll have to do it next year.
Well, there was a great night where we went to a pub, a local pub, and like sat in on an Irish session.
That would be awesome.
It was so great. And there's an older gentleman who's kind of holding court. He's, you know, he's obviously kind of the patriarch of the group or whatever. And he closes each week with The Parting Glass, which is that great old song, you know. Mm-hmm. And when he gets to the line of, you know, all the girls I've ever known, they would wish me one more day to stay. And then he goes, yeah, right.
Totally. I'm probably related to that guy.
Yeah, and I didn't know it was coming. So we were all like, you know, listening to this beautiful song and kind of singing along in our minds. Then he just goes, yeah, right.
No, I went to Scotland and England, and Scotland was like that too. So.
Yeah, I love Scotland. I love Scotland.
It was so lovely. It was just so nice. So, well, since we're in Kansas City, before we go, I think Folk Alliance is coming back here next year.
Yep, I'll be there.
You're going to be there. So this is for people who don't know about the Folk Alliance, and I find it fascinating. And I think their headquarters, I just drove by, they've got a sign out front, like they've moved the headquarters here.
Oh yeah, they did. They did years ago when Lewis was still.
So this is interesting. Mm-hmm. So people who don't know about this, and the only reason I really know about this, one of my cousins who lives in Austin, she manages bands, and she always comes up for it. So you might know her. Laura Thomas is my cousin. So
wait, Laura Thomas
is my first cousin.
Married to John, Laura.
Yeah, it's my cousin.
She's one of my good friends, and is my person, my solo booking agent.
Smaller world. So that house that my aunt, Manchak, and that's where Laura grew up. That's the house she grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. And
Dorothy's
I've met your aunt, because I've met Laura's
Aunt Dorothy.
Mom.
Love Aunt Dorothy.
That is so That is so funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, now I have to take a little screenshot and send it to Laura because she's going to get the biggest laugh out of that.
Have a big laugh.
Where's my thing? Where's my screenshot thing? Okay.
No, you can.
Okay. I'm going to send that to Laura. That's so funny.
I've literally known Laura my entire life. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. So Laura and I have been friends since probably like 2005 or six. And she wasn't my agent for a long time. I had another agent. And then when my agent retired, Laura and I both kind of danced around it for a little bit. Neither of us approached each other because we were both like, you know, it can be dangerous to work with your friends.
Totally.
And we were both like, okay, let's give it like a few months. And then if it doesn't feel right, then we can both like escape without any bad feelings. And, but then we've worked together now for like, I want to say like 7 or 8 years.
That's great.
Yeah. I love her. I love her so much. My favorite joke that I've ever heard her tell was, it wasn't really a joke, but somebody came up to her at a Folk Alliance one year and was like, Laura, I just heard that you used to be a social worker. And she was like, oh yeah, for a long time. And they were like, God, that must be so different managing folk artists. And she goes, it's almost exactly the same job.
Yeah, a lot of holding of hand, right?
That's yeah, it, exactly. Right? Oh, so about Folk Alliance. Yes, so it's this great organization that brings in mostly music, but some dance and other folk arts together in one place. And there's like a gazillion showcases going on. There are official showcases that happen down in like the hotel ballrooms and things like that, depending on the city, because sometimes they'll move out to another city and they'll be like in venues, you know, but generally all over a hotel. And then there will be, the whole hotel is almost always, well, it is always sold out because it's full of artists, of people who run venues, people who run house concerts, publicists, radio people, you know, everybody who's somewhat involved in the folk music scene basically tries to come to the conference. And then there will be several floors, and this, it used to be unsanctioned, but then Lewis Myers, who used to be the executive director of Folk Alliance, was such a visionary, and he knew how to make a thing run, you know. And he took what used to be considered like these renegade showcases that were happening in hotel rooms, and he was like, oh, we can sanction these and then we can monetize them.
Right. Because people literally would move the bed out of the way.
Exactly. And he was like, oh, I can make this work and it'll increase the draw of the conference and festival and also make some money for the conference instead of competing with the conference. He was smart that way. So several floors of the hotel, every single hotel room is a music venue. And so some rooms like every hour, some rooms every 15 minutes, the lineup is changing out. And so another artist comes in and plays their little set, and artists are running around all weekend playing all these mini shows all over the hotel. And you're meeting with, you know, folks who run different venues. And you're also, it's also like a giant family reunion for all the artists, because you're getting to see your friends who you never get to see because you're always on the road.
Right.
And there are a lot of like collaborations that get birthed out of Folk Alliance, because you might be, you know, seeing a friend or hanging out with a friend and then singing harmony with them. And then their friend is like, oh my God, you're great. Like, will you come sing with me? And then you end up being great friends and then join a band. You know, I mean, it's like, it's crazy, but it's really, really fun. And
well, it looks great. And I think it's, you know, people who in the music world know about it. So like, I'm aware of it, all my musician friends, but I think a lot of people in Kansas City don't know this happens.
Oh, yeah.
That it's a huge deal, and how much fun it is. The only thing is, I wish they didn't. It's always like in February, and I'm almost like, don't make people come to Kansas City in February.
Well, but that's because it's a hard time to tour.
Okay. But it's like, we have so many lovely months in the city.
I know, but that's when the hotel is going to be more expensive.
No, that's true. And it's down in Crown Center. And that's great. It's cool that you said, how many times do you come here?
I've been there a bunch. There were a couple of years that I missed in Kansas City. I went to all the ones in Memphis, I think. I think I maybe missed one or two folk alliances since 2006 or seven, but I've been to almost all of them otherwise. And I mean, the annual big one, and it's, they have a great music camp too. Like half of it is kind of the conference and festival. And then the other half of it is they have a music camp. And especially for people who live in Kansas City, like that is a great program to go to, or to like, if you have kids who are interested in learning music, or like taking, like if you have, if you play an instrument and you want to take some master classes, like the people that they have teaching the master classes are like world-class musicians. And then you can sit in for an hour with, you know, whatever, John McCutcheon or, right. You know.
That's great.
These amazing musicians. Well,
I'm actually going to go
musicians.
This year.
Oh, good.
Well, now I know half the people at the conference, apparently. You and Cousin Laura and God knows who else will be there that I know.
I know, and Laura always hosts a showcase room.
She always does, and I always take her to breakfast when she's here, and she's very tired, but she's very sweet.
So. Yeah, we don't really sleep.
No, it didn't seem like it. Well, it's so nice to get to talk to you. I'll let you get back to it, but I really enjoyed it. Nobody's Girl Again is the name of the album, July 30th. You're going to be here. You're here next year. I will come by because I know your agent. So I know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah. And I bet Rebecca and Grace will probably be there as well.
You're going to do a show, you think, together here?
I hope so. We haven't planned that far yet, but.
Come to my house if nothing else. You guys can play here.
Okay. That sounds good. Sorry to take you from your dinner.
No, you're fine. No, it's fine. I'm the dope that didn't get it right on the calendar. I appreciate you being so good. And I can see why Laura loves you, because you've been a total delight to talk to. And,
oh, thanks, James.
I really, really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Betty Sue, everybody. Had so much fun. And hey, I'm guessing Cousin Laura is listening to this episode of Trading Fours. I think that's going to happen. So hey, Laura, how you doing? Anyway, on a serious note, the album's great, man. You're going to dig it. So check it out. It's in the show notes. It came out yesterday. You know I put everything in the show notes for you people. So check that out. And thank you, Betty Sue. I hope you do make it to Kansas City soon. And we'll get to see you play live. So that's going to do it for this episode of Trading Fours. But hey, next time, I've got a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Doug Cosmo Clifford, a founding member of Creedence Clearwater Revival, also known as CCR. He made an album way back when I was a senior in high school, in 1986, and it sat in a vault for 35 years, but he made it with the late, great Steve Wright from the Greg Ken Band, and had people like, oh, I don't know, Joe Satriani on it. Well, he's coming on Trading Fours to talk about this. And we're really looking forward to it. So that's this time next week. Until then, go out, support live music, and we'll talk real soon. Bye-bye. You want to stay here, 'cause you're risking something like free.